You abandoned your hamster?
Look, I know it was bad, but this was a vicious hamster. This was like a Damien hamster with little beady eyes and a big forked tail and a cape with a hood and her. Bye-bye, Buttercup.
Welcome to the Ultimate Gilmore Girls Movie Night Podcast. I am Phil.
I'm Courtney.
And here we are here to talk about The Omen. So, Courtney, how's life?
It's good.
Excellent.
I finally slept last night.
I know. You haven't been sleeping at all?
I've been sleeping. It's just been bad sleep.
Yeah.
It's been very interrupted and not great sleep.
Last night
I finally did get some good sleep, which was good.
And you've had a headache for like the month, so.
2 weeks.
Oh, two weeks
tomorrow. It's been a sinus headache that's just been on and off.
Maybe it'll stop eventually.
I thought it was going to go away today because I finally got some sleep, but just in the last like hour or two it came back. So that's fun.
That is fun.
I'm reading a really good book right now.
What book are you reading?
I'm reading The First to Die at the End. It's a prequel to They Both Die at the End by Adam Silvera.
Do they both die?
They do both die at the end. And well, I'm predicting that the character that I think is going to die at the end of this one will die at the end. They're so good, though. The books are so good. They sound horrible. And they kind of are.
I'm not a big fan of the titles.
I mean, it takes you to a really sad place when, like, I find myself reading it and being like, I don't like this place I'm in because it's very depressing. The concept of it is that there is this program company called Deathcast that can determine what day you're going to die, what day everyone is going to die. So far, we don't know how. I'm hoping this book will give me a little bit of that secret, but so far we don't know. But it's always accurate, every time. Awesome. So you get a call from Deathcast at midnight on your end day, and they tell you you're going to die at some point today. And then everybody, they die. So they like, the company feels like they're giving a gift to these people. Like, you get to live your last day, knowing it's your last day, do whatever you want. You are the captain of your ship, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But also, I also really hate it. I think I kind of like the mystery. Like, I don't think I would like to know.
You don't want to know when you're going to die?
I keep going back and forth. I don't think I would want it. If I wanted any kind of notice, I would want more than one day.
That makes sense.
But I don't think I want
it. You wouldn't want to know it all. You'd want it to be completely, I'm dead.
I think so. Because I think that puts so much pressure on the one day.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you have to call all the people and you have to like see all the people you want to see. And you have to, like, it's too much. And also know that anything could kill you during the day. So like, you don't want to get on a plane and go see people that you love because you could die on the plane.
Yeah, that makes sense.
However, they did say something in this book about how the Deathcast can prevent anyone dying from plane crashes. Because if you have an entire plane full of people who get the call, they cancel that flight, those people are going to die anyway.
Yeah.
But you've now essentially ended plane crashes.
That's interesting.
And the call doesn't tell you if you're going to be, like, beaten beyond repair.
Yeah.
It just tells you if you're going to die.
It doesn't say how you're going to die.
No, it doesn't say how you're going to. Or, like, people try to stay away from people who know that it's their end day because they're like, I could still get hurt. I might not die, but I could still get hurt.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant. It's a lot. It makes me think a lot of things, and my next book needs to be happy because I can't. The last three books I've read, people have died.
Well, luckily, we're here to talk about a movie where nobody dies. So that's good.
I mean, horror movie deaths are very different than, like, drama deaths. Those are two different
things. Totally different.
It's not as, like, sad to watch some, like, random priest who foretold the son of Lucifer coming, dying. Like, that's not, I don't really care as much about him as I do about this person I've been reading.
But in horror movies, a lot of times, like, that random priest, but a lot of times.
I mean, I don't like it, but
a lot of times a character does die that you do care about.
I mean, I wasn't thrilled when Damien's mom died.
See?
Spoiler.
Oh, no. I'm doing well.
That's what I should have had to.
And we're not going to talk about me. This is
okay. Listen, the last podcast we did, we talked about football for like the first 15 minutes of the podcast.
Because we should always talk about football.
I'm allowed to talk about my book.
You are.
It's really good. I think other people should read it because I'm curious what other people's thoughts are.
So read what's it called?
The First to Die at the End. But you have to read They Both Die at the End first.
Sounds good.
It's good. What's going on in your life?
Well, I, on Monday, am recording a podcast just in a couple days over An American in Paris. And I'm super excited because I get to talk about Gene Kelly. And he mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast, I can talk about Singing in the Rain because I mentioned that that's my favorite movie and Gene Kelly and all of that. And I thought, man, you don't know what you're getting yourself into.
Are you
going
to plug our podcast?
I plugged your podcast last time I talked to him.
I know, but I feel like this one we might...
Oh, I'm going to talk about my Gene Kelly 5 Degrees of Separation or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you sing your song for them?
Probably not. Mm. I might. I don't know.
It's funny because your song is in every podcast episode of ours, but you've only sung it once.
Yeah, because there's no reason to.
When I get so it's not like you know it that well.
5 degrees or less of Gene Kelly.
Yes, do it. Yeah,
I did that.
Yes.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I'm really excited because I get to talk about Gene Kelly. And I've been on this guy's podcast 2 other times.
And that means I get to watch whatever I want to. While you're doing your podcast.
Yes. We talked about Rudy a long time ago when it was known, his podcast was known by a different name. And then I talked about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
That was the same one.
It's the same guy.
Wow.
But that was from Franchise Detours. And now I'm talking about An American Paris for his Close Watch podcast.
Is he going to steal my co-host?
No. I mean, I've been on 3 of his podcasts.
That's a lot of times to be a guest on the podcast.
And like 2 in a very short time. I don't know when this one's going to record. Or I know when it's recording because it's on Monday. I don't know when it's going to be posted though.
Okay, but like I'm married to you. So like he can't have you. Okay.
Okay. I will not marry him.
I'll listen to this podcast episode though.
Yes.
I haven't listened to me either.
It's because you don't care about Rudy or Ninja Turtles.
No.
Makes me sad.
I listen to your...
My wife does not like things that I like.
I listen. Do you like things I like?
I do. Hold on. I
tried to get you to watch either a Housewives show or Vanderpump Rules? How many?
I've watched a lot of your Vanderpump Rules.
You've watched an episode.
I've watched a lot of
it. The rest of it you've seen when I happen to be watching it.
But I have watched a lot of it.
That's
I've
not
watched
the same.
I feel like I've watched probably a full season.
Listen, more. I just need you to watch season 2. I need you to see Crazy Kristen. No, I need you to understand.
That was more likable.
Sheena kind of is. Not this season. Sheena's not doing great.
I watch all these people that aren't likable. They're jerks.
Oh, you like Tom Sandoval?
Yeah, Tom Sandoval's not bad.
And Tom Schwartz is okay. He's having a rough season, too.
Yeah. But I just have no need to watch any of those people.
That's so enjoyable.
I know. We have been watching Bel Air because the second season just started, and we're almost done with the first season.
Watching, just watched the reunion for
The Traitors. The Traitors is so good.
It's so good.
Yes. So that is us. This has been our podcast. We're
What's
done.
Happening in our lives.
What's happening in our lives? That is, does not work. Okay.
Don't cut it out.
I won't cut it out.
Okay, good.
Because people need to know that I'm an idiot. And here we are. So, The Omen. What are your thoughts? Or when did you see it?
I don't remember when I saw it first, but I've seen it many times. I can't. It's been years. Like, I saw it. I think maybe I was in college the first time I saw it. I feel like me and my roommates... I don't think any of them listen to this, so no one can correct me.
What?
Jackie listens.
That's true.
Who of your friends listens to our podcast?
All of them.
Stop.
Don't ask them if they listen.
Yeah. I'm going to call Brad right now.
I think right now you have one more friend that listens to it than I have. So.
Yeah, but your mom does.
That is true.
No, I think in college we decided we were going to watch a bunch of old scary movies, and I think this was one of them. I think because I was the only one who was, like, really scared of movies, and so I was the decider on, like, what was okay to watch, and I think I decided I was okay with this one. And I watched it, and it didn't scare me that much, so I've seen it many times since then. And I saw their remake, whatever year that came out.
Okay, I've never seen the remake. I didn't think I'd seen it. Then watching this, I thought I had seen it. Then I came to the conclusion that I haven't seen it.
That's a journey.
It was quite a journey. You were watching the movie. I was having this full-on journey that had nothing to do with the actual what was actually happening on the screen. So little did you know. But I think I have seen scenes of it. Like, I think I had seen the scene, the baboon scene. I feel like I've seen that scene before. And I think I've watched the nanny being hanged. Or hanging herself, I guess.
Yeah.
Or not hanging herself. It's very complicated.
She hangs herself.
I know, but it wasn't her. Like, but it was her, but it wasn't her.
She, yeah.
So I think I'd seen that before. And of course, I'd seen Damien smile to the camera afterwards. I'd seen that picture before. Yeah. So there were bits and pieces I had seen. But the part in the graveyard, when they went to, where was it, Italy?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I think so.
Where they went to, I had never seen any of that part before. Yeah. So I think I'd just seen some scenes from it. So let's go ahead and start with American diplomat Robert Thorne, which brings us to the number one segment in podcast history.
5 degrees, 5 degrees or less of Gene Kelly.
He's played by one Gregory Peck. And Gregory Peck, he's one of those actors. He's well known. What do you think of when you think of Gregory Peck?
Wasn't he Phil Mockingbird?
Phil Mockingbird. That's usually what I think of. He was also in a really good Hitchcock film that I can't remember the name, where he plays like a psychiatrist. It's really good.
Have we watched it?
I don't know if I watched it with you.
I feel like I have seen it.
I don't have it on DVD, so we would have had to rent it or something. I don't know if I've seen it with you. But anyways, he's also in a movie that you and I own called Roman Holiday. Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn, that's when it got really easy. Audrey Hepburn is in Funny Face with Fred Astaire.
I love Funny.
Fred Astaire is in Ziegfeld Follies with Gene Kelly.
I think we are watching all of those except for Ziegfeld Follies.
Well, Ziegfeld Follies, have you ever seen it?
Mm-mm.
It's with Gene Kelly is in one scene, and Fred Astaire is in a few scenes. It's basically a take on the Ziegfeld Follies that they used to do on Broadway, which Florence Ziegfeld is the guy's name. Okay, you know.
I've seen Funny Girl. I know Ziegfeld Girls.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know. I don't know Funny Girl.
She's a Ziegfeld girl.
Okay. I'm sorry.
This is making me sad. You're going to have to... We are going to watch Funny Girl.
Okay. Does she have a funny face?
I mean, it's Barbara Streisand.
She does have a funny face.
She doesn't have a funny face. She has a larger nose.
Sorry.
Her face is fine.
We've already talked about whether or not we find her attractive.
Beautiful.
In an earlier episode. But anyway, Ziegfeld Follies. So they kind of take that bit. So it's a bunch of like one scene, like just one like bits throughout. So Fred Astaire will be in a song.
Like skits?
Yeah, skits. That was the word I was looking for. Thank you. This is why I'm married. And you know words and I don't.
Most of the time I don't.
Fred Astaire is in like 3 or 4 numbers. Judy Garland's in 3 or 4 numbers. And Gene Kelly's in one number. And it's the only number that Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly ever did together.
Interesting.
They dance and tap dance and do all this stuff together. Technically, they do another movie together. It's called That's Entertainment 2, where they were the hosts. And they danced a couple times, but it was in the 70s when they were a lot older. So it's not the same.
Fred Astaire would have been.
He was born in 1899.
Yeah.
So he would have been
in his 80s. 80s.
And Gene Kelly was in his mid-60s, late 60s.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but anyways, but they did. It was 75, I think. 74, 75. But they both both danced in that, so that technically counts. But it's not the same as in 1945 when they danced together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was actual, like, they're dancing. But anyways. Like that. What?
So aren't there any dancers like that?
There are. They're just on Broadway.
Okay. That's
and funny. If they do a movie musical now, they'll get famous actors who can also sing, rather than taking people from Broadway who can do all of that.
Mm.
Tom Holland is a dancer, and he is going to be in a Fred Astaire movie. He's going to play Fred Astaire movie.
That's true.
And he was, maybe him.
The thing, though, is that I feel like when they had good dancers back then, they were typecast. Just do movie musicals. But Tom Holland started as a dancer, and now he's friggin' Spider-Man.
Because if you can dance, you can climb up walls.
Then why didn't anybody have Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly climb up walls?
They do have Fred Astaire climb up walls. In the movie Royal Wedding, he dances on the ceiling and dances on the walls.
In the box that turns?
No, it's an actual room. He's able to do that.
Okay.
Don't mess with the magic of cinema.
Sorry.
But yeah, but that's in Royal Wedding, which just stars Jane Powell, in case you're wondering.
Interesting.
Okay. See, this is what, if you listen to the Un American in Paris podcast,
this is what we think that
it'll be me giving a lot of facts. So, diplomat Robert Thorne and his wife Kathy are living in Rome, where she gives birth to a boy who dies. And hospital chaplain Father Spoleto persuades Robert to secretly adopt a baby whose mother just died in childbirth.
Which, like,
is awful.
So much is wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
I can get behind the sentiment of I don't want my wife's heart to be broken. That's maybe all I can get behind. The rest of it, it's like you're taking a baby. I mean, illegally. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no.
Also, her heart. You don't want her heart to be broken in the moment, I guess. But in the future, I feel like it's impossible for her not to. Like, she's going to find out at some point.
Well, and like, how do you know that the baby is going to look? Babies when they're born. Don't look like anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They just are like these little things. I could not have guessed when both of our kids were born. I could never have guessed which one of us they would have looked like, or if they were going to look like either one of us. So what if you got that baby and that baby had like
5 heads?
I mean, that's not what I was thinking, but I was thinking like an eye color that does not genetically make sense, or I don't know. It seems risky. Seems risky, sir.
Yep. They named him Damien.
Why?
Which Damien, because we were discussing this last night. A lot of people were convinced because of the movie, and I saw this on IMDb. A lot of people were convinced that the name Damien was biblical and that the prophetic passage was a real quote. It was literally made up for the movie. So before the movie, Damien wasn't thought of as an evil name.
Oh.
Or we were having, because I had mentioned last night when we were watching that I had always thought that the name Damien being evil came from the movie.
Yeah.
But you thought that it was biblical, and I didn't know whether or not it was.
I thought it was.
But when I was looking at trivia on IMDb, it says that people were convinced, just like you, because of the movie, that it was biblical. But
it's funny, because I wouldn't say that I like knew what the omen was prior to like college age. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend in high school named Damien, and like we would make jokes about
because it's so crazy, the movie is so
in the lexicon of like, I don't know. It's funny. He was a very nice guy, my friend Damien. And he had a brother named Dante.
Damien was originally, and this was actually originally going to be called Domlin.
Domlin?
Domlin. D-O-M-L-I-N.
That's
because funny. The writer had a friend whose obnoxious child was called Domlin.
That's just mean.
Yeah. But the writer's wife, David Seltzer's wife, convinced him to change the name.
That's mean.
And Domlin doesn't. Damien works so much better.
I think Damien does work really well, but
Domlin had always been the name, we'd probably think Damien's a dumb name. Why Domlin is the only one that fits?
Here's my other question, though: if they had named the kid some generic David, if they had named the kid David, would we associate that with an evil name or no? Because it's just a name that we've been using forever.
Oh, and that is biblical.
It is.
But not as, like, a demon.
But on behalf of Damien's of the world, I had a very good friend in high school named Damien.
It shouldn't be.
Very nice.
Goliath.
Goliath. I'm sitting here trying to, like, give credit to people named Damien, and every single time I try to, you interrupt me.
I'm sorry. I once had a colleague when I was teaching Ash Scheidler in Oklahoma City, and her kid was named Damien.
I don't know why after the movie you would name your kid Damien.
Because he is like, I mean, now I think he's high school age or something, but he was older. I mean, I didn't know her son to know whether or not he was like Damien from the movie, but I assume not. He was probably a nice kid.
The kid I knew was born in the 80s.
But that would also be after
the movie. It was after the movie, yeah. So I'm confused about why his mother
would be. Yeah, I think that's silly. I feel like there would be a lot of Damien's born before the movie and then after the movie.
It might have been.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to do that.
I'm curious. I wish we could see that, like, the statistics on there.
Right, 5 years later, Robert is ambassador to the UK when mysterious events plague the Thorns. A menacing Rottweiler appears at their home. Damien's nanny publicly hangs herself during his 5th birthday party, and that I had seen before. I don't know if I'd seen the whole thing or just bits and pieces of it.
Okay, but like, I've always wondered, why? Why did she do that? I mean, it has something to do with him, and it has something to do with the dog showing up, but like, why did she, why?
I don't know.
Was it so that this other, the woman who owns, I can't remember her name, Miss Baylock can come in?
Possibly. I would think, yeah.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. I will say the dogs actually that are there, they had the hardest time with them because the dogs were so nice and just wanted to lick
everybody. Dogs are nice dogs.
And just wanted to lick everybody that they had to figure out how to make them a little madder and meaner.
They just wanted to play.
I know, they just wanted to play.
My sister just got a puppy. Yeah. But they just got their 4th dog. I think they could just get me one.
Your sister's been trying to get you one.
No, my sister's been trying to get me to get one. That's different. She's got 4 in her house. She can't give me one.
Okay, but she's still trying to get you one.
She's trying to get me to pay $500 for one.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Maybe 2 pennies.
We will pay for one, but yeah, just not until someone can be home.
But not all the time, because nobody can be home all the time.
No, but we need to be home a decent amount at the beginning to get them potty trained.
Yeah. So, the new nanny after that is Mrs. Blaylock, arrives unannounced. I had no idea. Like, it was confusing. Like, so she's a demon, I guess? She's
like the guardian. She comes in
to protect him.
Yeah, she's like Damien's guardian. I mean, like, in the world of Satan and Satan's kid and all that. She's like, literally his guardian by being his nanny, but also the guardian of the son of Satan. So, my guess would be that she's a demon.
Yeah. So, but she arrives. She's
just terrifying.
She is terrifying.
And her character was played by Mia Farrow in the remake.
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned that.
Yeah.
Mia Farrow, who knows a lot about being in a movie with the son of Satan.
Yeah. I think that's why they picked her. I think it was supposed to be like an Easter egg kind of thing. The movie did horribly. No one.
2006, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think it had like 20-something% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, it didn't do well.
Like it?
I didn't like it as much as the original.
Right.
Julia Stiles is the mother and Lee Schreiber is the father.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was so similar to the original, but like had little differences that just were not as interesting to me. I don't know. It just wasn't very good.
Then his parents, well, not, I guess it's Robert and his wife, what's her name, Kathy, they take Damien to church. What was the reason for Damien going to church again?
They were going to a wedding.
Wedding? I thought it was a wedding.
They were just going to somebody's wedding.
And, Damien was not a fan. And
Baylock tried to keep him home.
Mm-hmm.
She told Kathy she was going to like take him to the park, and she was like, no, I told you to get him ready for the wedding. And she did, and then he like lost it.
Yeah. And Damien's presence terrifies animals at a wildlife park. So all of this is going on. The baboons, originally, they couldn't get them to act as crazy as they wanted to because, you know, they had to jump on the car and in the way of
acting. Behind the scenes.
Gotcha. Behind the scenes. I apparently decided to do it throughout the thing rather than just at the end. So bear with me here. So they had a fake baboon in the car, thinking that because he was in the car that they would act crazy. They weren't. So they pulled the baboon's head off. It's not a real baboon, by the way.
I know.
Okay. And I know they don't know that. Which is what made them attack the car.
Those poor baboons.
And apparently inside the car they were terrified.
I bet.
So.
That's scary. I really kind of liked watching the giraffes run, though. I know they were running away from him because he was, like, the devil. But I just thought they looked really beautiful running. I've just never seen a giraffe run.
Father Brendan warns Robert about Damien's origins, hinting that he is not human, and insisting Robert take communion. He tells Robert that Damien is a son.
What is he going to do, though?
I don't know.
To protect him?
You know, what it's doing is so he can say the word, drink the blood. And that's
his flesh.
That's a terrifying thing to say. I'm
scared of him saying eat his flesh. Because we hear drink the blood of Christ. Like, that's a normal phrase.
That's true.
His flesh.
I think that's the reason they wanted it, just so he could say those words.
I want to know why, though, like, in the reality of the movie, what was Robert taking communion going to do?
I don't know.
What would it have fixed?
Yeah, I don't know. He tells Robert that Damien's the son of Satan, that Kathy's pregnant, and that he will kill his unborn sibling and parents unless he dies. And this is that's actually the second time he sees him. So, yeah. The first time is in the office.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And later, Brennan is killed by a falling pole.
That's a really terrible way to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, just a pole straight to the heart.
And the whole thing, you kept expecting, like, kept expecting him to get electrocuted or a tree branch to fall.
No, but you'd see in the pictures.
Yeah, that it's something going through. But
oh, no, I knew it was like...
It could have been, like, a tree branch somehow or him getting electrocuted the way the pole...
No, I think the first time I saw it, when I saw the picture, I thought, like, oh, he's going to get, like, impaled.
I did not. But also, I couldn't really tell the shadow.
It was
like, it was hard to see.
On our let's tell our listeners what we're talking about with the pictures.
All right, we'll talk about the photographer. So photographer is Keith Jennings. Mm-hmm. He noticed the shadows in the photographs of the nanny. So in the nanny, there was a shadow in the photograph that was...
like a rope.
Yeah, which looked like a rope hanging her, and she got hanged. And then the Father Brennan, there was the shadow of the impaling. Mm-hmm. That preceded their deaths. So, and as it got closer, the shadow got darker and darker.
Yes.
So that is what the shadow.
But like, is the photographer? Was he like their personal photographer? I mean, like, I know he's like a
because he was everywhere. He was everywhere they were.
The United Kingdom or whatever, but he was just always there. Maybe it's just like a journalist who just like follows politics or something.
Possibly.
He was everywhere though.
Yeah. Kathy tells Robert she wants an abortion, which he opposes. Damien then knocks Kathy over a railing to the floor below because Damien was going in circles like he was possessed.
But hold on.
And then, oh, whoa.
We're skipping a whole thing.
Okay, go.
I think before she tells him she's pregnant, she says she wants to go to therapy because she feels like something's wrong with Damien. Mm-hmm. She starts going to therapy and then Robert goes to see the therapist after she tells him she's pregnant and wants an abortion. And the therapist tells him, like, she's not in a good frame of mind to be a mother right now. Mm-hmm. I really think she should terminate this pregnancy. And he says no. And the therapist says, why do you say that? And he says, because it was foretold that this baby would die. And the therapist just kind of stares at him. And, like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's like, you could just say, there's so many reasons to not want your wife to have an abortion.
Yeah.
You don't have to sound like a crazy person saying, like, it was foretold. Like, he gets, like, angry. It was intense.
It was intense, yeah. But he was telling the truth.
He was.
But you don't have to share everything you know.
Well, that therapist sucked, though, because someone should have been committed at that point. Yeah. Either Kathy or Robert should have been committed at some point. Both of them are having some, like, severe delusions. Mm-hmm. At least to the therapist. We know, watching the movie, that it's real.
Definitely.
To them. Anyway, then Damien goes crazy.
So Damien goes crazy, knocks her over, which I thought that was going to kill her. I thought, okay, that's how she's going to
die. I thought that was how she died, too. Because I knew that there was a difference in how she died in this movie versus the remake. And I knew she died in the hospital in the remake. So for some reason, I thought she didn't die in the hospital in this one. But she survives the
fall. Well, she does survive.
With a lot of casts all over, like, every limb of her body.
So, going back to Keith Jennings, the photographer, he shows Robert the photos along with news clippings and biblical passages that suggest the coming of the Antichrist. He tells him, you know, which it was interesting because they were able to go to the priest's house.
Yeah, the priest's
house. Which, even with all the craziness that was going on, I don't think they would allow any just random people in there. I mean, it wasn't a crime scene, but still.
They smooth-talked their way into that old folks' home for that other priest. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what they could have said. And also, he's like a high-ranking politician.
Yeah.
So they might have just let him come in.
Yeah. He accompanies Robert to Rome to investigate Damien's birth, which a lot of this was so boring. Like, yeah. I found that it started really moving slow when they went to Rome. Until they found, well, until... like, she would die, which we'll talk about, and they found the body of their son.
But even that, it was like, we knew he died.
Yes, we knew he died, but I, in my naivety, still thought it was he was stillborn. Like, this was, this showed that they killed him.
Okay, that's
so that's why, to me, it was still important.
That's fair.
And he realized, oh, they killed him. And this showed that the original priest or whatever, or that at the very first scene, was a part of the group that killed him.
Yeah. And gave this Damien to Robert.
Yes.
So he was, like, handpicked. Mm-hmm. This is the son of Satan. I'm going to give him to this...
Yeah.
politician who has influence in the world so that this kid has power.
Yeah. They learn that a fire destroyed the hospital, including Kathy's maternity records, and killed the staff on duty. They find Father Spoleto in a monastery, severely burned, mute, blind in one eye, and partly paralyzed. He directs them to the cemetery where Damien's biological mother is buried.
But that was like animal bones, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a jackal.
So she was a jackal?
That's what I took from it, is okay. That she was, the mother was a jackal.
Gross.
I know. Robert and Keith find a jackal carcass, and in the next slot, a child skeleton with a shattered skull. Robert realizes that the jackal is Damien's mother, and the child is his own son, murdered so Damien can take his place. A pack of Rottweilers drives Robert and Keith from the cemetery.
Are they supposed to be hellhounds? Probably.
I would assume so. Robert calls Kathy in hospital to tell her she must leave London. Before she can do so, Mrs. Blaylock throws her to her death from a window. Or pushes her.
Not what happens in the remake.
What happens in the remake?
In the remake, Kathy has a... I don't even know if her name is Kathy, but she has a IV in. And Mrs. Blaylock comes and bends the IV line to create a bubble. And then the bubble goes into her bloodstream and she dies. Which I have to say, I do IVs, I don't know, maybe like once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. Every single time I do an IV, I think about that scene. I think about the scene so often in my life because I do IVs and because that stuck with me so much. And I like had to Google it because occasionally you will see teeny tiny little bubbles in IV lines. And I've had moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill somebody. But I had to Google it to see what actually would kill a person when it comes to bubbles in the IV line. And you have to give somebody several cc's of air for them to actually die. Maybe that, ooh, now I'm remembering it. I don't know for sure that she bent the line like that, or if she might have put a syringe of air in. That would make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've mixed up some stories here. But she somehow puts air into her IV line, and she dies. And in reality, you'd have to give somebody a whole lot of air in their IV line for them to die. So I'm not killing people. By doing.
In case anybody's wondering.
I just, you know, you learn a freaking lot in nursing school. And there are some times when you're like, did I learn that? And then, like, you have to go back and like, research stuff. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. And I didn't do IVs for the first, like, 5 years of my nursing career. How many years was I a nurse? Six.
Doing off the top of my head.
6 years. Almost 7. So, yeah, for the first 5 years of my nursing career, I did not do IV lines. So I had to re-educate myself to make sure that I wasn't going to kill people. And I'm not. It's also... I will also say it is very important to make sure there is not air in the line, just in case, but it would have to be a whole lot of air.
Robert and Keith meet Antichrist after she dies.
Bye, Kathy.
Yeah. Obviously, he is told while he's in the, I guess, hotel.
Yeah.
And breaks down.
Yeah. Because, like, what is left now?
His son. Who's the devil's son?
Yeah. His wife is dead, and he essentially just left his son alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't want to be near him. And now he knows that he's not his biological son.
Robert and Keith meet Antichrist expert Carl Bugenhagen. Who says...
Every time they said Bugenhagen, I laugh.
Who says if Damien is the true Antichrist, he'll bear a birthmark in the shape of 3 sixes. Carl gives Robert 7 daggers with which to kill Damien on hallowed ground. Thorne refuses to do so, but Keith remains convicted in their task. Afterwards, Keith is then, as he's running from him, decapitated by a sheet of glass, which David Warner, who played Keith, he kept a severed head for years.
No.
Until his divorce.
Like a
when his ex-wife obtained custody of him.
Stop. What, did it look like his head?
I don't
know. Was probably, it like shaped like him?
Probably. I mean, it was a severed head.
I can't. So
apparently his ex-wife got custody of it in the
divorce. I would never. Never. I don't want anyone's head, fake or not. I don't
mind.
Not if it's not attached to you the way it's supposed to be.
It's not a real head.
No. I'm done with Keith.
And apparently I had read that the way the director wanted to shoot that part of it, that scene, is that there would be a long enough pause that whenever you see the sheet of glass coming towards them, people that closed their eyes because they didn't want to see it would open it to see the head flying through the air.
I hate directors.
And they wanted it just enough so they could at least see that part.
I hate directors like that.
How come?
Because I'm the person who closes their eyes.
And you don't want to see the head flying
through the air. No, I closed my eyes so I wouldn't see it.
Robert then reluctantly accepts the task to kill Damien. Robert flies home.
I guess this is what I'm doing.
Robert flies home with the knives in his lap. When he gets home, he finds the birthmark on the sleeping Damien's scalp and is attacked by Mrs. Blaylock, whom he stabs to death. Armed with the daggers, Robert drives Damien to a cathedral. His erratic driving draws the attention of the police. Robert drags the screaming Damien onto the altar to kill him, but is shot to death by police before he can do so. The double funeral of Kathy and Robert is attended by the U.S. President and the First Lady, who have Damien with them. Damien turns and smiles at the camera.
And now he's going to America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be in The Omen 2.
Yeah, there wasn't.
There's like four Omens. I've watched, apparently, I mean, not including the remake. I watched the first one now, and that's all.
Yeah, I don't need to see any.
I might watch. I don't know. I might be interested in the second one. I think. No, never
mind. I like the first one, but I just don't need to know anymore.
Harvey Stevens, played Damien, was largely chosen for this role from the way he attacked Richard Donner, who's the director, during auditions. Donner asked all the little boys to come at him as if they were attacking Catherine Thorne during the church wedding scene. Mm-hmm. Stephen screamed and clawed at Donner's face and kicked him in the groin during his act. Donner whipped the kid off him, ordered the kid's blonde hair dyed black, and cast him as Damien.
Wow.
One of the reasons why Gregory Peck accepted the role of a tortured father, conflicted with guilt, was because he had not been around when his son Jonathan died from suicide in 1975.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah. Mrs. Blaylock was originally written as a warm, effusive Irish nanny. For her audition, Billy Whitelaw significantly changed the dialogue to create the cold, slightly sinister character that appeared in the film, which makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if she's protecting the devil's child, she would be more sinister, I would think.
Right, because, like, you can't be warm and loving.
Unless you're warm and loving to throw them off.
I guess, but then, like, she wouldn't have been able to, like, get away with as much as she did. She wouldn't have had as much control over him.
Yeah. According to at least one biography of Gregory Peck, he took this role at a huge cut in salary, but was also guaranteed 10% of the film's box office gross.
Oh, nice.
When it went on to gross more than $60 million in the U.S. alone, it became the highest paid performance of Peck's career.
Wow.
And he had essentially been retired for several years when he unexpectedly agreed to make this film. By doing so, he effectively...
By doing so, he
validated the production, and other members of the cast and crew soon came on board. Because, I mean, if you get Gregory...
Then I'm in.
The movie was originally going to be called The Birthmark, but a good chunk of the film was filmed on location in Italian maternity wards. The crew would put up signs saying, filming The Birthmark, and the women patients there would complain that they didn't want any mention of birthmarks in their maternity ward for fear of bringing bad luck. The crew then started to change the signs to filming The Omen, just as a temporary measure, but then the new name seemed to stick, and they ran with it.
How does The Birthmark bring more bad luck than The Omen?
Maybe there's like a history of just saying birth. Maybe it's like Macbeth.
It must be.
Maybe birthmark is like Macbeth.
No, maybe it's like a cultural thing.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Macbeth in theater, not just Macbeth.
I didn't know
if you were with me.
I have a 2-week headache going on, but I can understand things.
Good. The film seemed to fall victim to a sinister curse. Star Gregory Peck and screenwriter David Seltzer took separate planes to the UK. Yet both planes were struck by lightning. While producer Harvey Bernhard was in Rome, lightning just missed him. Rottweilers hired for the film attacked their trainers. A hotel at which director Richard Donner was staying got bombed by the IRA. He was also struck by a car. After Peck canceled another flight to Israel, the plane he would have chartered crashed, killing all on board. On day one of the shoot, Several principal members of the crew survived a head-on car crash. The jinx appeared to persist well into post-production when special effects artist John Richardson was injured and his girlfriend beheaded in an accident on the set of A Bridge Too Far. God. So, there you go.
That's insane.
Dick Van Dyke later said turning down this film was, quote-unquote, stupid. So, apparently, Dick Van Dyke...
His entire career would have changed.
Might have done the only...
Well, how old would he have been?
And... He was born in 25, 26, 25, I think.
Well, that might have been interesting to see him.
So he would have been 50?
I don't... Because I love Dick Van Dyke. I don't know if the film would have been as good.
No.
With him in that role.
I love Dick Van Dyke, but Gregory Peck is a more accomplished actor. So I don't know if it would have been as good. Damien comes from the Greek word dama, D-A-M-A, which means to overcome, master, or detain.
Interesting.
So it's not biblical. It wasn't thought of as a bad name until this movie.
I don't know. That meaning isn't great, though.
Yeah. So that is The Omen. Who in the Gilmore Girls universe would like this movie?
I feel like Rory and Lorelai like scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like Jess would like this. I don't know.
Jess would.
I feel like he probably likes scary movies.
Would Luke like scary movies?
No, I think Luke would be annoyed by it.
What movies would he like?
I don't know that Luke would like movies.
Maybe about baseball?
Yeah. Field of Dreams.
I don't know. Field of Dreams. That's not a baseball movie.
I don't know. I've never
seen it. It is. It's considered a baseball movie, but I will fight against anybody who says it's a baseball movie.
He would like that. I feel like Luke would watch horror movies and be like, why are you doing that? That's stupid. Like, I just feel like that would be Luke's reaction to people doing things in horror movies.
Like, when there are horror movies and they decide to go upstairs.
That's not a horror movie. That's One Tree Hill.
Well, that's also horror movies.
I know.
I mean, that's only that one.
I know, but Peyton goes upstairs twice to get away from Psycho Derek.
That's true. In case you're wondering, we're also listening to the One Tree Hill podcast and doing the watch along with that.
Yeah.
And they just did that episode. Well, part one of that episode. They'll talk about part two of it next week. How many cups of coffee would you give it?
Eight.
Okay.
Alex.
I would give it eight as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's good for what it is. It's not a, like, I want to watch it all the time kind of movie, but it's good for what it is.
Yeah.
It fulfills its purpose.
Yes. The next movie is The Great Santini.
No.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, it takes place between 1920 and 1925 when Harry Houdini decided to start being known as the Great Santini. Oh, and it was the 5-year period I'm sorry. I'm excited about this. It's a 5-year period when he started going by that name.
I need to pause you and make a personal statement here. I never realized how loud my family was until I had a sinus headache for 2 weeks. You all are so loud. You speak at such high volumes all the time. All three of you.
My heart hurts.
My head hurts.
So anyways, we're going to be... Was that correct in the synopsis?
Oh,
for Great Santini? No. Is that what it's
100%
about?
Wrong, and you made my head hurt worse by talking about it in that level. I love you, though.
We'll talk to you in two weeks.
No,
If I'm still around.
I'm not going to do anything to you.
Whoa.
The Great Santini. Who's in it?
So Robert Duvall?
It's Robert Duvall.
Robert De Niro.
Robert Duvall.
One of the Roberts.
Robert Duvall. And he's like a military guy, and it shows him being a dad, and it's boring as anything. And I watched it before, and I'm not looking forward to it.
She's saying it's boring. You should still watch it in preparation for the podcast.
But if you don't, we'll talk about it, and you can listen. It's fine.
Okay. But it's not about Harry Houdini.
That would be interesting. I am fascinated by Harry Houdini.
But what about when he became the Great Santini?
He didn't.
You don't know the history of Harry Houdini?
I know some.
Oh, yeah. You mind? Okay, you're right. He did become a Great Santini.
Why do I feel like Harry Houdini has a connection to Pennsylvania? Does he?
He was born in Pittsburgh.
Was he?
I don't know.
No, wait. Hold on. I gotta look this up. Because every time I talk about Harry Houdini, I always feel like I have to like Harry Houdini because of something having to do with Pennsylvania, and I don't know what it is.
Okay.
Was he in
Pennsylvania? I mean, he might have been in Pennsylvania at one point in his life.
No, there's like something... No. Died in Detroit. Oh, but he was touring at that point. He was like,
yeah.
What's his connection to Pennsylvania? Somebody tell me. Did I make this? I think I made it up.
Because because you assume that everybody has a connection to Pennsylvania. Because you're obsessed with Pennsylvania.
I'm not obsessed. I just like it because I lived there.
Okay.
I've got nothing. I don't think he has anything to do with Pennsylvania. I think I'm just crazy.
And well, we'll watch the Greg Fantini.
And anything about Harry.
That makes me sad. We'll talk. I'm trying to talk softer because Courtney yelled at me. So I don't know if you knew that.
What level did my voice hit?
I got really excited about the Great Santini as I made up the synopsis, and you did not care for it.
That's the problem. It's not that you all speak at a very high level of voice. It's that you all get so excited. Everyone I live with gets so excited about so many things so much of the time, and they express that excitement with very loud sounds. And those loud sounds go directly to my brain, and it makes my head feel like it's going to explode.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.